the things that you don't like, I also preach that. I am not a respecter of person. I preach what God has sent, what God has laid upon my heart. What is the will of God? What is the mind of God? Why? Because I am God sent. This is tough, isn't it? Because everybody's going to see it. And the other thing is Satan know that too. Acts 18 verse 27. When Apollos wanted to go to Acacia, the brothers encouraged him and write to the disciples there to welcome him. Again, write a letter. On arriving, he was a great help to those who by grace had believed. I can remember when I want to study in Dr. John MacArthur's seminary here in Pretoria for my diploma in counseling. Oh, I need recommendation letters, man, by the galore. I think they need four of them, and the one must not know about the other one, and they must be all four letters sealed, and they must send it into the same address. Sure. Now you sit and wonder, what did they write about you? And you can't ask them because it is confidential that goes on in that letter. Each one got their questions, and they have to fill it in, and they have to send it in. It's tough. It will show if you are authentic or are you plastic. Think about that. What are people saying when they read you? And they saw the letter is not what they see. They see the letter on the one hand and they hear the letter on the other hand. Wow, we fake it. I said some of these letters is not written on paper, but verbal. Verbal. I wonder many times, are our words still our honor? If we say yes, is it still yes, you know, a week or 2 weeks from now? If we say no, is it still no a week or two from now? Because when you are confronted and you say, I never said that. And because we forgot doesn't mean that we didn't say it or promise that. But our words are no more, for many, I could talk in general, are no more our honor. When I was growing up, children are being seen, not be heard. You know, when I don't even see you, you must just be out of the adult's way, you know. And you say nothing. The only thing that you say is when talk is when you've been called to bring coffee or to go and make coffee. But then you listen when they talk. And when they make deals, and my father built cars up and he sells them, and it is verbally communication. My word is my honor. And if you don't pay, I'm going to get this car back. Yes, and they shake hands. It is a done deal. But it looks like if we don't put it on paper, even if you put it on paper, it means nothing. You read the letter that comes from people's mouth. And you'd see the total opposite of what is in their lives. Paul say here in 2 Corinthians 3:1, or do we need, like some people, letters of recommendation to you or from you? I don't need a letter from you. Some of you need letters. He said, I don't need a letter from you. I said, yeah, it is many times that is these very same people that wants these recommendation letters that do the most damage in other people's lives. I will not mention names. A few years ago, there was a man who was studying theology. He didn't study it. His wife studied it. And his wife was writing all his assignments for him and sent it in. And he get the marks. Good points. Wow. She actually needed a diploma in theology, not him. And the only thing that he did, he was writing the end exams. But here's the thing. When he applied to go to a certain church, to be the pastor of the church, they give him a recommendation letter that's skirk for niks. You know what that means? Skirk for niks. You know, if you have a boot behind you and it's a powerful boot, it's not who you know, or who, what you do, it's who you know. And with that letter, he go. And he got the church as their new pastor. Unfortunately, I read that letter. I will not mention the names. But the thing is, it was not long. He walks away with one of the congregation's ladies and divorces his wife. So for the recommendation letter. And when I heard what happens, I met his wife a long time after that, me and my wife. Couldn't believe what you hear. I do more damage in the kingdom of God, among the children of God, with my letter. If you take a man, and you can do what you want. In our days, you can have a guy who have papers for his job, and you have a guy who don't have the papers for his job. Let's say a mechanic. Two of them stand before you. One got a qualified mechanic with papers, and the other one has maybe double the years of experience to be a mechanic, but he don't have papers. The one with the papers, you think he will do an excellent job, and there are some of them that do that. Then you have to make a choice which one you're going to take. Today they sit with papers that many of them might be fake, and they can't do the job. They're highly qualified, but they can't do the job. Then you get a guy next to him, he's highly qualified, but he don't have the papers. You've got the years of experiencing in doing it. So the paper is not the thing that gonna give the stamp and say, yes, this is guaranteed. It's the character of the man. It's the life of the man, not the paper of the man. So I don't need it. What is he saying? I don't need letters from anybody. Why not Paul? Listen to what Paul says here in verse 2 of 2 Corinthians chapter 3. He said, you yourselves are our letters, written on our hearts, known and read by everyone. I don't need a letter. You want to have a recommendation letter to see if I'm authentic, said Paul. Look at my students. Look at their lives. They are my letters. Look at their lives. Look at their conduct. And you will see through their lives my authentic, what can I say, that I am authentic, that I am real, that I am not plastic. I'm not a man-made thing. I'm sent by God. I didn't appoint myself. Why? Because these people are on my heart. And what I know, I deposited into their lives. They are my letters. If you want a letter, go and take a name. Look at his life. And you can evaluate him. Look, I just mentioned names. You can go and look here. You can go and look there. Go and evaluate that life. You might see another Paul running around here. Because I deposit myself into them. Why? That very person is in my heart. So much so that I care for him, and I'm care, and I'm also interested in his relationship with God. Known, he say here, known. First you will be known before they read you. Oh, this is Pete Pompis. You know, Pete Pompis is a scavanger, man. Every time you hear about Pete Pompis, whoever Pete Pompis is, but Pete Pompis has changed. Isn't this Pete Pompis? That scavanger, that man that do this and do that. Look at his life. Now they're reading him. First they know who is the man. Now they read him. He don't do it anymore. Wow, what happened with him? I can't be the same person. He even dressed differently. Listen to his words. Wow. I wonder what happened with him. Where does he go to church? I would like to know the person that was helping him to become like that. I would also want that Pete Pompis has. Wow. This is what Paul said. Because you yourself are my letters. No. In 1 Corinthians 9:2, even though I may not be an apostle to others, surely I am to you. For you are the seal of my apostleship in the Lord. Why? Because they practice what I teach them. They accept me as sent from God. They accept me. You don't have to prove anything. Just look at them. Why must I prove anything if I'm not real? They say in a conflict situation, don't defend yourself, because if you defend yourself, you are guilty. But if you defend yourself too much, they say you are guilty. And if you don't defend yourself, they say you are guilty, because you don't defend yourself. Doesn't matter which way you go. What is a letter? What is better? I ask the question, what is better? A written letter of commendation on paper, or a living letter of commendation? Which one will you choose? I would rather choose the living letter. You know, I said many times in the past where I come from, I rather take a guy who knows nothing than somebody think he knows it all. And I will train that man. Because those who know it all and think they got it all, they don't listen to you. So I would rather take the one who knows nothing, and I will train him. That's the difference. Because those who think they know it all don't have a teachable spirit to submit and say, teach me. I can remember I came out of the seminary. I nearly say cemetery. Seminary, okay? There's a difference. There's a difference. I just came out of it, and I have to go for 7 months in mission school. So Lord, when will it be enough? Out of the seminary, into the mission school, 7 months. That was tough. I thought the seminary was tough. 7 months was tougher. But I have to. I have to. That is the protocol. You want to be part of this mission, you go through it. And we are exposed to all the different kinds of ministries in that mission organization. And on the last day, on the 7th month, you will sit before the panel, and they will evaluate you to say, where does God want you to be in this mission? Is your vision the same as our vision? If it is not, then this place is not for you. In that 7 month, I have to learn to submit as well. I have to learn to think more than just me and my wife. For many years, it was just me and my wife and my 2 kids that do the mission work. Now I'm part of a team. I was never part of a team. Now I am part of a team. Now I have think team-wise. And I struggle with that, because it was always me and myself and my wife. Now you have to think for other people as well. Where do you find yourself? Where do you see yourself that God has called you to this? Can you submit? Can you slot in? Are you a team player? And a lot of stuff. And we almost worked 5 years with them till I got malaria again and I'm out of the mission. Because we work mostly in Mozambique. You don't need someone to pat you on your shoulders. You don't need that you are a wheelbarrow Christian that people have to push you wherever they want you. No, you are God sent, and God will lead you, and you have to be responsible and accountable and do what you're called to do. There's some people until today, they want us back in Mozambique. And I give God the glory. It's not because of who we are, because of what He did in our lives. Because what they read and what they know, and my prayer is that it will always be correlated with one another, synchronized. And I can get sometimes very fuzzy and fall nonsense, you know? If you know what is that in English. Yeah, Paul said, no, guys, no. To validate Paul, he said, to validate my ministry as an apostle, look at the lives of my disciples. They are my living letters. I said, many people think that if they have this or that certificate, I already said it, then they think, you know, they are competent for the ministry. No, it's not true. True credentials, listen, true credentials of the ministry is a life that is being changed, and they will be living apostles. Are you one of them? That is true credentials. Praise God. And don't think I shoot the seminaries and all those things off. No, I don't shoot them down. Thank God for them. I've got a diploma in theology. Praise God for that, with my standard 8 and all. I say thank you for that. It enriched my life. There's things that I thought I know, and until I got there, then I know nothing. Thank you for that. But that will not make you competent if God didn't call you. If your character is not changed by God, people will read you. First will know you. But this can't be the same person. Is it? This guy came from juvenile mission. Look what he's doing. Everything that they taught him is been jeopardizing to this man now. He's breaking everything down. And that's why I said, be careful when you go out. You not just represented the Jivanadi mission, you represented the kingdom of heaven. But here on earth, we represent this mission. Are all of you guys like this? You know, the pastor said many times, this is not a Jivanadi mission rule. This is from the Bible. Because people think when you quote the scriptures that it's a Jivanadi mission rule. No, it is a principle from the Bible that we apply and we act upon that. That's the second principle to grow in my spirit, is to act on God's word, to apply it, to be strong in my spirit. I'm nearly finished, or far from finished. But here comes Paul. Why do we say that? Because you are in my heart. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 2. Written on our hearts. Not just on your hearts. You are written here. I care for you. And if I sometimes a little bit hard on you, it's because I care for you. I love you. That's why. Don't think I hate you. Don't think I don't care and, you know, I'm like this now. No. You need both the salt and the pepper. You need both of them. So you are in my heart. That's why I care for you. That's why I teach you the things that I do. My paraphrasing of Paul. You are engraved that he is being truly called by God, and that it was so engraved into his heart that the outflow of that was lives that was changed by his ministry. What more? What more proof do you want from Paul? What more proof? If you saw his church, the churches that he cares about, the people that he instructs, and you see the life change, what else do you need as a proof that this man is from God? Nothing. Look at that life. Look at your life. Who played a major role in your life? Maybe I can go there and jump all of these. Here's a few questions. Who is the author of your letter? And I include myself. Who is the author of our letter? Is it Christ? Or is it other people who was writing there on the flesh tablets of my heart? What will the proof be if you say it is Christ? Is there a changed life? Is there proof from the outsiders that can say, here is an authentic letter? Who made you the person that you are today? Is it God? Is it someone else? Who did God use in your life this past year to help you to build into your life the character of Christ? Who did God use in your life? That's a good question. Because he used so many people in our lives. Can you see the grace of Christ working in your life? Can you see it? Can you experience that? Or are you a dead letter? A dear Johnny. You know what is a dear Johnny? For those who are in the army, know. I was looking it up one day. Why they call it a dear Johnny? Dear Johnny, I am no more in love with you. Goodbye. I find someone else. You are too long in the army. Can't wait for you. And then you cry your heart out because you get a dear Johnny when you are on the border. It's the last place you want a dear Johnny. And I saw many big men crack under a dear Johnny. Shame that they even let him stay for a week or so in the camp just to get over that. Some even sent back to the States because it is so severe. Some of them get cuckoos that they want to shoot everybody because he just left or lost his fiance or his girlfriend. That's tough stuff. What is the message? This is maybe one of the last questions. What is the message that others read from your life? Is it something that they would say, I want some more? Or is it something that people say, you know, I'm so glad this man is leaving or this woman is leaving. You know, I feel actually like a rubbish dump. What do they read? You see, say, when he say, Paul wrote into the lives of his disciples, he say, the results of our ministry. There's results. Because he's a farmer. And a farmer, when he go and he sow for one thing, he wants to see fruit. And he said the result in their lives is Jesus Christ, the center of it all. That's the result. Written. And then I sum this up. Written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. God said in Ezekiel 11:19, I'm going to take out that stony heart. And I'm giving them a heart of flesh. And I'm going to written my laws on that flesh tablets. And I'm going to put my Spirit in them. And I will make them to obey me. There is the operation of the Spirit of God in our lives. Wants to engrave on the flesh tablets of our hearts the character and the image of Him. That's why He came. That's why He came. Proverbs 3 verse 3 says, let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck as a necklace. Write them on the tablets of your heart. Well, my time is up. Many people don't read Christian books anymore. They don't have the time for that. But they read you and me. Let us give them something that when they read us, that they will have something and someone to believe in by the letters that they read when they read us. That they find that I am a proof, that I am a living testimony that there is a living God who changed my life. I was once this, now I am totally this. Don't worry, God are not finished with me yet, so have patience with me. I'm in the oven, yes, God is busy with me, but people can already see the change that is there. Why? Because they know me. They know my past, they know me who I am now, and they read what comes and what is it? Like a beam radiate from my life. They read that. And may that draw them to Christ. They might not draw them to the Kum books and where the Christian literature is, or maybe to a Bible, but they will see here walks a living Bible, a man, a woman in a living relationship with God. Authentic, like I said the other day, authentic, not plastic, genuine, real, because God sent, God breath, inspired by the Spirit of God. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And many people has read a lot in our lives. So many times we quote other people's words from books that we read. And rightly so, because it's got power. It's got something in it to give us some hope and inspired us. And we want to apply that. But Lord, not just when we read about others, but also when they read us. What is the message that they got? What is the message? We talk about body language. I can flirt with my body and a message sent from that without even say a word. I can be in through our body language. There's a lot that is not been spoken that we can see through body language. We read it. We are trained to read that. And we make our own assumptions. And sometimes we are wrong. Sometimes we can't judge a book by its cover, but many times we can. So Lord, I pray that when people read us, because many of them already know us, they know our past, they know who we are and where we come from, and where are we right now in our lives. The way they may not know where are we going, but they will read us. Yes, the words of our mouth, the way we conduct ourselves, and everything with it May what they read, may that, Lord, draw them to you. To you. It is not because of who we are, any one of us. It is because of you. And if we are sometimes hard and sometimes we feel insensitive or unloving, it's not the truth. It's because you are in my heart. I saw how Paul deal with conflict, sometimes very hard, very harsh, that he just want to give somebody over to Satan. So hard. But Lord, it's because he has the Lord, he has the church of God in his heart, written on his heart. May each one of us will be written in our hearts. And that when we writing, we are still writing in this letter. Help us to write responsible. Help us to take stock. But we know this for sure. You are still in control. Help us that our attitude, that our conduct, that everything that comes from our lives will be God honoring, Holy Spirit inspired, Lord God fearing, and that to show that Jesus is the center of my life, of our lives. Doesn't matter who we are, doesn't matter where we come from. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.